Doesn't sound like a good morning. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I probably wasn't loud enough. That's probably the issue as well. Just before we begin, I just have one announcement to make, and I need to apologize, because last week I knew I was contagious with something. I just didn't know what I had, and so I was unable to shake hands, and some of you may not have understood why I was not shaking hands, and so just wanted to let you know why I wasn't doing that. And so I apologize for that kind of thing. And I found out on Tuesday I have bronchitis, and so the doctors told me, however, because some of you are probably thinking, well, he shook our hands this week, and he just said he had bronchitis. Well, the doctor said after a few days of taking antibiotics, I'm no longer contagious, so I'm taking them at his word, right? However, to be safe, I did put some stuff on my hands just before I shook everybody's hands. So in case anybody is thinking they're going to have to come up for healing after having shaken my hand, I just wanted to mention that. The last thing I wanted to mention is in your newsletters last week, there were some something's wrong with my watch here. Hang on a second. In the newsletter last week, there were some seminars that are going to be offered between April and June, and prayer concerts and that. And I just wanted to just briefly, because this is my last Sunday here before that's coming up, the Thursday after Easter is going to be a seminar that I'm offering called Peacemaking, A Path to Healing. And this is a seminar that I'll do from time to time on conflict resolution, and it'll just kind of help us learn more about how we can keep peace in our relationships and then also become peacemakers as God intended. And so we're going to look at why conflict so often occurs, and then we'll include a number of fun and interesting and helpful individual and group exercises that will really elicit some great discussions. So if that kind of tugs at your heart, I'd like you just to kind of mark that on your calendar, because I think it is important for a church as it moves forward that it just kind of examine itself in a number of ways, and both individually and corporately. And we've been doing that through this series. But sometimes it's good to think about helpful tools that might help us learn how to deal with conflict better in the future than perhaps maybe we have done in the past. So keep that in mind, and think and pray about that, and love to see you be a part of that if you want. To begin with, I want to share with you this story that I found in a book. It was in 1989 that an 8.2 earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. And in the midst of this devastation and chaos, a father left his wife securely at home and then rushed to the school where his son was supposed to be, only to discover that the building had been flattened. So after that initial shock, he then remembered a promise he had made to his son, which was this: no matter what, son, I'll always be there for you. And as he looked at that flattened building, tears began to come to his eyes. But then he began to concentrate on where he walked his son to class each morning. And he remembered that his son's classroom happened to be in the back right corner of the building. And so he rushed over there and he began pawing and digging through the rubble. And as he was doing that, other well-meaning parents tried to pull him off of what was left of the school, telling him, look, it's too late. Everybody's dead. You can't help. Just go home. Then the fire chief showed up and tried to pull him off of all the debris that was there. And he said, look, fires are breaking out. Explosions are happening everywhere. You're in danger. We'll take care of things. Go home. The police came and basically said the same thing. Look, you're angry. We know that. And you're distraught. But it's over. And you're endangering others by what you're doing. So go home. We'll handle this. And after each person came up to him, he said the same thing to them. Are you going to help me dig? No one did, because everyone thought it was a lost cause. So courageously, he just proceeded alone, because he needed to know for himself, is my son alive or not? So he dug for 8 hours, then 12 hours, then 24 hours, 36. And in the 38th hour, he pulled back a boulder and he heard his son's voice. And so he screamed his son's name, Armand. And he heard back, Dad? Oh, he said, it's me, Dad. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you would save me. And when you saved me, they'd all be saved. You promised, Dad, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. You did it. You did it, Dad. So the father asked, well, what's going on in there? How is everybody? And then the son went on to say that of the 33 original students, there were 14 of them still alive. And then he said, look, Dad, we're scared, we're hungry, we're thirsty, but we're so grateful that you're here. When the building collapsed, it made a wedge like a triangle, and it saved us. So he said, well, come on out, boy. To which the son replied, no, Dad, let the other kids go first, because I know you'll get me, because no matter what, I know you'll be there for me. You think of it, that's a story of an earthly father who gives us a glimpse of our heavenly father, the one who is always there for us, the one who says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them, I will forgive them, and I will bring healing to them. The God who says this is the God who is in control. Amen? And as we look at today's topic, I want us to keep that foremost in our minds, because that's going to give us cause to celebrate at the end of our service today. Let's pray. Father, what a joy, what a relief to know that we don't have to ask you to show up because you're already here. But I pray something very specific for us today. That we would sense your presence. That we would welcome your presence. Welcome your power in our lives today. Wherever it is you want to bring your healing touch. Overwhelm us today with who you are. How much you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Twyla Paris, the songwriter, once wrote a song entitled, God is in Control. Here's some of the words. There is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Because there's one thing that has always been true and it holds the world together. God is in control. There is no power above him. There is no power beside him. God alone is in control. So I want to begin this morning by saying that the God who is in control is here today. And he wants to minister to us in the area of our deepest needs. He's here today to reveal himself to us and all the power of heaven that entails. He's here to reveal the fact that he alone is in control of every circumstance in our life and every circumstance in the life of our church. And he can give us healing and victory over it, or the ability to walk through it, if we will simply but surrender and receive from him what he desires to give us and pour in upon us from heaven. And I don't know how that makes you feel, but all I want to say is that's cause for celebration. And so you may be here this morning with a broken body, some kind of illness, a disease, a physical handicap, an addiction. Or perhaps you still have a wounded heart or mind. Perhaps maybe you're suffering from depression, fatigue. Someone hurt you and you're still finding it hard to forgive. Maybe there's an area of your life that you know you still haven't turned over to God yet. Maybe you need to still confess to God or to someone else or to the church about something and just ask their forgiveness. Maybe at some point in your life you were abused by somebody who betrayed your trust. And you're tormented by that, and as a result, you may even have an unhealthy view of intimacy, and you want to be done with that. Or maybe you're carrying guilt that you were never meant to carry. Maybe you need a change in attitude or character. Maybe you still need victory or healing because of maybe you've just been angry lately, or you're just finding yourself just having a lack of forgiveness or little patience, or just lately you've been negative and you want to become more of an encourager. Or perhaps you're here, and the only way you could describe it is you're here with an empty soul and you are so in need of filling with God's forgiveness or His presence. So for instance, maybe you're not a Christ follower, maybe you're not a Christian as yet, and you need to know God's forgiveness once and for all, the forgiveness that He offers in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And so you want to, today, ask Him to forgive you and become His child. Or maybe you are a Christian, but you just know that lately you've been drifting away. Or maybe you just want a closer walk. And you want to just bask in that kind of healing touch from God. Maybe you just want to experience the joy of God again in a much greater way than you have in the past, both individually, and you may want that for the church as well. Or maybe it's time just to feel excited about being a part of this church family again. Whatever your need, I'm here to tell you today that the God of the Bible, the God who is in control, is here to provide us with Himself and His wonderful healing touch from heaven. And I'll say it again, that is cause for celebration. Do I hear an amen? So my question for us this morning is this. Are we ready to receive what He knows that we need more than anything else, even if it's different than what we think we need? Because that's critical. Are we ready to receive from Him that which is going to bring the most honor and glory to His name, even if it's not what we're initially asking for, but then ultimately that's what's going to bring peace to our heart? Because if we are, then victory is ours today, and we're going to end with a celebration. Because God says in the Bible, if My people who are called by My name will prepare themselves in a certain way and come to Me with a humble heart and a repentant heart, then He says, then they are ready to receive My healing touch. In other words, God says, I'm going to pour out My healing power and touch upon them, making them whole in My sight, setting them on a course that is going to reverberate with My presence and My peace, and My power, and My joy. Are you ready for that kind of healing touch as we bring this series to a close? Well, as we prepare our hearts for that, here's where I want to begin. I want us to begin by trying to come to a greater understanding as to what this last promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 means. I will heal their land. Now, even though the context here is land, it really is much more than that, because you'll understand what I mean when we look at this word for healing that occurs here. Because you see, this word for healing means this. It means to mend, to cure, to cause to heal, to restore to normal, to repair thoroughly, or this is my favorite, to make one whole. Now, the wholeness that is often described in the Bible, the wholeness that God is talking about here, describes healing that is not just simply physical healing. It also has to do with providing us with emotional and spiritual healing or wholeness as well. So the healing touch that God is talking about here in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is that healing touch of God that encompasses physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual healing. That's the kind of wholeness that is being discussed here, a wholeness of the body, the heart, the mind, and the soul, because God is interested in the whole person. And that's the kind of healing touch that God wants to bring upon his children, to those who call Jesus Christ their forgiver and their leader, their Savior and their Lord. And from the Bible, this is an undeniable truth. I mean, time and time again, the Bible speaks about God's healing touch. For instance, in Exodus 15, there God says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." And then Psalm 103, which we looked at last week, it begins with these words, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And why is David shouting that out? Well, it says, "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." That's physical healing. "Who redeems your life from the pit." That's salvation or spiritual healing. "And crowns you with love and compassion." That's emotional healing. Those are just two instances from the Bible. But there's so much more scriptural evidence that God desires to bring wholeness, to bring health to people and to churches. For example, the Bible tells us that's ultimately why Jesus came to earth to die for us. To provide not only spiritual healing, making us right with God once and for all, but emotional and physical healing as well, as God determines. Yes, he came to restore us first and foremost to God spiritually, providing us with his healing grace, his healing mercy, and his healing forgiveness, if we acknowledge our sin before him and ask for forgiveness and ask him to come into our life and then ask him to lead our life from that point on. But then he also wants to provide us with his healing power over physical and emotional pain. Because you see, everything that is awful in the world today is ultimately, or has its roots in some kind of sin. And Jesus paid the price for it all. There's nothing that isn't contained in what happened on the cross. We specifically see that in Isaiah 53. Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before Jesus Christ ever came to earth. And it was a passage written about the Messiah. A passage that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples in the New Testament, attributes to Jesus himself. And you can see why. Because there it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds," and the implication we now know is, "on the cross, we are healed." So yes, God desires to pour his healing upon us. The issue, though, is that sometimes, sometimes we are looking for one kind of healing when God wants to give us something else, another kind of healing. And so we need to be prepared to receive what God wants to give today and in the future, because you see, he knows ultimately that what he desires to give us is always going to be better than anything we might think we need. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't come to him asking for what we want and honestly bringing our desires before him. Because we don't always know exactly what it is that God wants us to say. But so I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is this, that ultimately we need to be willing to receive from God what the healing he wants to give us. It really doesn't matter whether he wants to bring us physical, emotional, or spiritual healing, or a combination thereof, because what he wants to do through healing you is to draw you closer to him, to make us more effective for him, so that others are going to see him and his power through us. So I'd like us to really take some time this morning to consider in more detail the kinds of healing touch that God might want to pour on us today and why he might choose to do that one over another one. So let's take a closer look at the way in which God heals. And first, I mean, the truth is, you can't read the Bible without understanding this. You can't hear about events that have happened in church history, and probably some of you have stories to tell right now where God wants to pour upon us physical healing. Dramatically, miraculously, freeing us from the pain and the discomfort of a physical problem. Now, if he does, let me just say this as an aside. Contrary to certain opinions that are out there today, faith is not always a requirement. Oh, many times it's important. You can see that in the Bible, but not always. Because you see, God is not limited by your lack of faith. Yes, often God chooses to heal because of the faith of his people, but not always. There are other times when he has healed in spite of our faith or lack thereof. I'm going to give you an example of each from the Bible. One example is from Matthew 9. The other one is from Acts 3. Let me give you first an example of a person of faith. Most of you will have heard this story. It takes place in Matthew 9. A woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, she just is longing to come close to Jesus so that she can reach out and touch Jesus' cloak, thinking, if only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. And when that happens, Jesus turns to her and says, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. But I want you to understand something about the faith he was talking about. He wasn't talking about something that she had conjured up within herself. And so it was the faith that she had conjured up. It was the object of her faith that was important, not the amount. And the object of her faith was Jesus Christ. So that's an example of God healing someone because of their faith in his ability and his desire to do so. But then we find this story in Acts chapter 3, where we see this example where it appears that faith wasn't an issue in the healing. Peter and John heal this crippled beggar in Jesus' name in front of one of the temple gates, and there's no mention of faith. In fact, healing seems to have been the furthest thing on that beggar's mind. Someone has said all he wanted was a handout rather than the hand of God. And yet, miraculously, he's healed. So you see, sometimes God desires to heal in spite of our faith, not because of it. But either way, though, that is one of the ways that he wants to heal us, freeing us miraculously from physical pain. I have a story to tell you about my brother. My middle brother, Con. He does the same thing that I do, only in British Columbia. That's him standing beside his cherry tree, and that's not a happy grin. That's a grin saying to Gene, see what I got in my backyard, Gene? Because you see, he thinks BC is heaven, right? And so anyway, when Con was in Toronto for meetings one time, he needed to get to the airport, and so a friend of ours, he's a friend of both of ours, gave him a ride, and as they're traveling, I think it was on the 401, I know it was one of the freeways, the car stalls. And so they were able to drift over to the side of the road, and it was the alternator, right? So they got out, and it was where they could push it, right? And they're pushing it, they're getting something. I'm thinking all these cars going on the 401, and they're pushing a car on the 401. That was a miracle in itself. So they're pushing the car, then when they get it up to a certain speed, they hop in, they crank the starter, and it starts up, and away they go. And they get over onto the road that leads into the airport, and it stalls again. So they get out, and they try to push it again, and as the driver hops into the car and starts it, it drives over my brother's foot. And immediately, he's in excruciating pain. He can't put any weight on it at all, and He's yelling at the guy, and he's hopping on one foot, and he climbs into the car, and he's just in pain. They're both looking. The foot is just swelling up. They can see it swelling before their eyes, right? And Con is just bent over in agony. It's so much pain. the friend, without thinking, puts his hand on his on the ankle, and he says, "In Jesus' name, please heal this." And then they both watch as the ankle just comes down like this, and Khan says, "I'm better." He gets out of the car, runs out and flags a taxi, and makes his way to the airport. Meanwhile, the friend in the car is wondering, "I wonder if this is going to work on the car." But it didn't, because you see, God had something else in mind. And the tow truck driver came over, and this, my friend, had a chance to share the gospel with this tow truck driver as he's being driven to the gas station. So yes, sometimes God does heal physically. Other times, though, God chooses not to heal us miraculously from our physical pain or deformities, and sometimes his healing touch comes in the form of something else. It's freedom from emotional pain, or his strength to endure in spite of that pain. It's the ability to surrender into his care and his peace in a miraculous way in spite of our weakness, in spite of our pain. And I would suggest to you that that is just as miraculous. In 2 Corinthians 12, many of us know this passage. Paul says, you know, and you can sense the depth of emotion here. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh, this ailment, away from me. But he said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And we know that God used Paul in mighty ways in spite of his ailment. And he may want to do the same thing through you. You see, sometimes God knows that we can do more for him if he doesn't heal us physically. Or he can do more through us and also in us. A modern day example is Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic. For those of you who don't know who she is, God told her no when she asked for healing. And at first, when he said no, she was angry at God. She was bitter. But you see, he never said no to healing. He just said no to her physical healing, because he had so much more in store for her. And what he gave her instead was his joy, his heart, and his peace to overflowing. And today she is this renowned speaker. She's a mouth artist, singer, declaring the power of God in her life in a myriad of ways, in spite of the fact that she's a quadriplegic and has been so since the age of 18, when she dove into a lake and fractured her neck. I mean, I don't know, those of you who know her and have seen her, I don't know what you think, but every time I look at her face when she comes onto the stage or something like that, I just sense that her face radiates the peace and the joy that God can give in the midst of tragedy and sorrow. And that's something only God can do. And that's the second way that God heals. Emotionally, or giving us the endurance to overcome. And you know what the result is? The result is contentment. And I can tell you, with the things that I have gone through over the last 10 years, I've never been more content than I am today. And I'll share more of that in just a minute. Now, sometimes God knows that what we need more than anything else is not physical healing or emotional healing, but some form of spiritual healing. Could be healing in the form of a change in attitude about something. Change in our character that God wants to work on. A change in our conduct about something. Just a healing of his presence in a deeper way. You know, maybe just need more of his joy or his peace or his love or his enthusiasm, his vision and his purpose. Or perhaps, like I said before, just the ultimate healing touch of his forgiveness or his salvation, where we finally decide we're going to cross over the line of faith and receive him as Savior and Lord and make sure that we are a child of his for the rest of our lives. In Isaiah 1, we see an example of God's desire to bring the healing power of his forgiveness. That kind of spiritual healing. Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. God says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. You see, sometimes this is the kind of healing we need. Spiritual healing. Either his forgiveness as we ask for it, or his presence to fill or change a part of our heart that is empty as we surrender. That's the hope that he offers us when he extends his spiritual healing. Let me share about my own life. You know, most of you know that I've had neck and back problems ever since I was 15. I've actually been stronger over the last 5 years than I've been previously, but there's still periods of pain that I have to go through. And then I've had chronic fatigue and burnout for the last 15 years. And I haven't worked full-time for the last 10. I've asked God to physically heal me many times, and God has said no to that so far. I've never heard him say, stop asking, so I keep asking. But I have received different kinds of healings. A far greater dependence upon God. A much deeper spiritual walk with him. I've learned lessons about humility because I was far too prideful. I can feel other people's pains like I wasn't able to before. And I think that healing is just as miraculous as what God did for my brother. Today, this is not me. Today, I can actually thank God for the pain I experience and the tiredness I feel. Because he has used this to touch me in ways that I don't think I'd ever have been touched before. And he's used this to help me touch other people's lives as well. And there's nobody who can say to me, God hasn't healed you. Nobody. Three kinds of healings. Physical healing, emotional healing, or the endurance to go through something. Or spiritual healing of some kind. Let me draw this to a close. In a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward to ask for some kind of healing. Just an opportunity to receive God's healing touch. Just whatever that might be. And I just want to assure you that if you're coming for God's healing touch, we're going to be inviting you to come to him expecting one of three prayers to be answered. One or more. All prayers from the book of Psalms. So you may be coming to him as David did on one occasion when he called out to God for physical healing. And he said, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. Or you may be coming to him for some kind of emotional healing or endurance, as David did in Psalm 5 when he said, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my God and my King and my God, for to you I pray. Or finally, he may want you to come to him asking for spiritual healing and forgiveness. David did this on a number of occasions, one being in Psalm 32 when he said, and I paraphrase, when I kept silent about my sin, I wasted away. But when I acknowledged my sin to God, he forgave me and took away my guilt. Or the spiritual healing he might want to give you is something completely different. You may be coming to him just saying, I want the healing touch of God so that I'm just going to be immersed in the joy of God. Maybe you're going to just ask for a greater sense of his joy. his peace, his contentment, greater sense of his presence individually and as a church. Ray Bolts has, and someone else have written a song called The Altar. And in talking about why he wrote it, here's what Ray says. What a wonderful place the altar is. A place to pray, a place to leave burdens, a place to seek peace in a troubled world. I wrote this song because we may be tempted to wonder what others will think when we answer God's call to prayer. When this happens, we should run to the altar the same way a child runs into the arms of a loving father. Here's some of the words to this song. The service is nearing an end. People at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sin. Some are fighting battles they've been struggling to win. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. I see a father praying with his son. Mama kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. There's an old man standing there in tears, giving up a part of him he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken, lives are being changed, and those who call upon him, they will never be the same. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness, and there's a love that's true, and Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. You can give your burdens to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. There are people here who are ready to anoint you with oil and lay hands on you. When you come forward, they're just going to ask you, so why have you come forward? What is it you're sensing that you would like healing? And then they will just simply ask you, do you believe that God can bring healing and wants to heal you? But then they'll also ask you if you're willing to receive the healing that God has chosen for you, even if it's different from what you've asked. And then what they're going to do is they're going to give you and the team that's praying for you an opportunity to confess anything that God may bring to mind before they lay hands on you and pray. Because you see, this whole aspect of anointing people with oil and praying for them is a serious thing. Because God is working through those people. So we need to have hearts need to be right when we ask for that healing. So we'll just simply give an opportunity for people to share quietly between them and God. If God says you need to share it out loud, then we'll leave that up to you. Then they will anoint you with oil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing special about that oil. It's simply a symbol of God's presence and power here right now. And then they will pray over you. And I want to assure you, you will not go back empty-handed. You will not. God has promised you his healing touch if we come to him with a humble heart, a searching heart, and a repentant heart. Then he will heal in one of the three ways that I've talked about this morning. Now, if you don't sense that you're going to be coming forward, we would ask you to stay in your seats and begin to pray for those who are. Because we want all of us to be involved in this as a church family, absolutely saturating this place with our prayers, praying the thoughts of God back to him. And then after a certain period of time, we're going to close that part of the service. If there are some of you that still need to be prayed for, don't worry. We'll pray for you at the end of the service. But what we want to do is we'll stop then after a certain period of time, and we're going to have our worship team come up here. That's why we've saved most of the singing for the end, and we are going to celebrate like we've never done before. So I'm going to ask some of the people that have been asked to be prayer partners in that to come on up to the front. And let's all bow our heads. I'm going to pray. And then as the music begins to play, those of you who would like to be healed for something, come on forward. And if you don't want to go up alone and you want to bring a friend with you, just bring a friend. And then that friend can be there just for support as others lay hands on them. Let's pray. Father, we pray a hedge of protection around this building right now so that your Holy Spirit can have free reign. This is a place where there is no room for sin, no room for the enemy. And we say in Jesus' name to the enemy that he has no place here because here's where your Spirit reigns. And so, Father, we come to you. We come to you with humble hearts, with broken hearts, with searching hearts, and repentant hearts. And we're just saying, heal us where we need healing. Heal our church where our church needs healing. So that we can move forward and be the church that you desire us to be. So that everything we do from this moment on, no matter how great everything that we've done in the past is, everything we do from this moment on will pale in comparison because of the presence and the power of you being here in a new and a fresh way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come.